Hey, cool cats and kittens. We're thrilled to have you back for another episode of Venture Maidens. Before we dive in, I gotta say a big ol' thank you as always to Emily Mayo for composing our favorite campaign theme song. Another big thank you to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music. And an extra, extra big ol' thank you to those of you wonderful Patreon supporters who fund the production of this show with your donations. We couldn't keep doing what we do without your generosity and support. Now I'm going to hit you with the recap of what happened last time, then we'll dive into the episode. After concluding their business with Reynard and officially freeing Tony from her debt to Akate, the group returned to Cooper, the Chicken Hut, for some well-deserved R&R. Plans were made to finalize preparation for a journey to the Blossom Court, conversations were had about the group's reservations concerning Aoife's transformation. Meanwhile, our satyr spent the evening discovering just how many things were different about her newly non-mortal form. And that's the scoop. So now, here's the episode.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Buried feelings have been aired. Now it's time to get prepared. First we deal with a fiendish trap and a youth who's fallen off the map. Face the music as we head into favor. Episode 44, Broken Bells.
Maidens, episode 44. And I can tell you all, this is very exciting because we're recording this episode back to back with the other one. You're watching it 2 weeks later or hearing it 2 weeks later, but it's so nice. We all got back together, like we're in the rhythm. I'm loving it. You guys ready for 44?
We're here. We're middle-aged. We're ready.
We're thriving.
It's a sexy age.
Our bills are under control.
Absolutely not. I'm not ready.
I'm not thriving. It's okay. It's summer. It's hot. Not everybody thrives in summer. I will say, you guys, we're getting well into summer. Spring was about, 28 episodes or so. We're jamming along. We're not going to be in summer too much longer. Fall is coming. Ooh. Shit. I mean, we still got some stuff to do, but don't worry. We'll tell you all about it in the recap. But anyway, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Venture Maidens. We are an actual play live stream that converts to a podcast. We play D&D 5th edition, though we are not affiliated officially with Wizards of the Coast in any way. I will say this is a very adult-themed stream, so you can expect, obviously, swearing and descriptions of graphic fantasy violence. For that reason, we keep a general content warning up, just body horror. In case anything else comes up during this episode, we will be updating the chat and also our podcast show notes. So just keep your eyes out for that. But yeah, don't anticipate anything special this time, but we'll see. You never know in a fantasy imagination game. But yeah, we did a bunch of cool stuff last time, kind of resolving some stuff. So let's just say our intros and dive in. We'll tell you all about it. Hey everybody, my name is Celeste Conowich, and tonight I will be your dungeon master.
Hello, I am Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luveri Sath, your drow rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim. I am your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail, / budding druid.
I like the budding. That's very sage. And Katie, you're just throwing that in there. I noticed it last time, but you did it again. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, sage, to interrupt you.
It needed to be acknowledged.
I had to underline that. I heard it, everyone. Anyways, sage, pardon.
And I'm Sage, and I'm Aoife Flannery, your best bard.
Yes. All right, budding druid and best bard and all that. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last time. It was good. It was like a processing episode. last episode was this discussion, right? Like, getting out of the Hanging Gardens, getting back to normalcy, catching up with everyone, talking about Aoife's transformation, both, like, independently between other members of the party and as a big group, and then, you know, leaving on that note. And I think Aoife learned a lot about her new self, learning some key details, like, no longer dreaming, but can enjoy the dream of others, no longer needing to eat, but still understanding that's something the Fae enjoy doing. Obviously some reticence from Rook dealing with that transformation on the other side, and yeah, but with all of that, we all caught up, we all got to a solid place, an understanding, and decided to head to Chaosiana to start basically taking care of some business before we meet up with the Tsarina's emissary and go and officially speak to the Blossom Court Sovereign. So at the very end of last episode, we had made a list of what we are going to do this episode. So this is the scene list we are going to be playing through before we meet up with that representative. So first of all, we're heading to Chaosiana. We're going to go ahead and drop off Aoife outside of Chaosiana, basically where you buried that bell, Whistler's bell. And so Aoife alone is going to go ahead and check on that. Meanwhile, Tony and then Lou and Rook are going to head to Frida's, specifically so Tony can get a hookup and buy some better armor. And then also Lou needs to check up with Cassie and then also check out Briar, who is obviously this new person that Reynard has please asked that the family can, like, maybe look out for or give them a job or something to keep them out of trouble. And then after all that business is wrapped up, we were planning to go back to Coven, sell off those big rose blooms that we've connected, get some cash money, Lou check in, maybe get a new patron, you know, check in with the business, and then we are going to meet up with that representative, the Tsarina Ascending, who we do not know who it is, but we have decided that you all are going to meet them in Chaosiana. Sound good?
Hell yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah. All right, as per our decisions, babes, we're going to go ahead and drop off Aoife. So, like I said last time, you all had gotten back from the Titan Fortress and basically just had the night to camp, like, take your long rest, whatever. Because in the morning when you wake up, it's really only going to be about 30 minutes of travel to get Cooper, the Chicken Hut, to where you actually need to go, Chaosiana. It's a very short jump in the mortal realm. So no problem at all. You all wake up, you have your breakfast, finish things, get ready to go. And then we arrive in the blink of an eye, basically outside of Chaosiana. You can see from those windows there, like, because you guys had just buried it basically by a remote kind of lone tree in the middle of, like, a field in nowhere because you hadn't wanted to draw attention to where this bell was. So Cooper will, you know, curl their legs and, like, sit down so you can get out.
Yeah, Aoife pops out, backpack on her back, you know, enjoying the nice balmy weather of Chaosiana, or, you know, being just outside of it. And she waves them off. And it's like, don't worry, it'll be fine.
Rook looks at both Tony and Lou.
I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, you can come with. I'm not stopping you.
I mean, if you guys don't have anything, I really don't feel like we should just...
What is Aoife trying to do? Just check on the bell? Or
I don't know. Aoife! Like, yell as you're walking out with your backpack.
I don't think we should just bounce. Yeah, we definitely are going to stay, I think.
Ooh, okay, I mean, if you guys say so, then who am I to, you know, be contrary?
Why would we leave? Like, what if something fucking... how would we know so if something happened?
True. Like, Lou just goes and, like, is putting on her boots.
Don't mean to bring it up again, but you're just, like, a... I mean, look at you and the whole world, like, did... You look pretty magical, right? Right?
She has this effervescent laugh as she, like, whisks these long locks of hair out of her face.
Everyone can tell, you guys. This isn't, like, rocket science.
Well, I think everyone could honestly tell before this, so.
What do you mean? Like, satyrs were fine. The satyrs walked around in the Eldrin Empire, but, like, this, she is, like, saturated in color and shapes and smells. Like, that same thing you get whenever you move through the wilds. Like, there is a distinct otherness about the Feywild that is absolutely in Aoife's new look.
Yeah, Lou's booted. She has her backpack on, and
yeah,
she gets down off of Koopy and, like, gives a little smooch to the side of the banister, and she pats and is like, we'll be back. And she, like, kind of, like, stands next to Aoife, and she's like, I mean, group decision, so we're gonna come with you.
And Aoife just, you know, kind of waves you off nonchalantly, shovel in hand, and begins kind of digging around for where she had vaguely remembered that she had buried it, because it's been a couple of months and doesn't quite remember, and starts digging around.
You know, somewhere around this tree, because you picked the tree, yeah, like, as a general landmark for when you needed to find it again. So Rook will also, you know, hop out and stand and kind of look back. Tony, are you coming?
Mm-hmm. Tony's always with.
Because you all are sort of standing there in the middle of this, like, mostly flat kind of rolling plains. You know, it's a nice day, the balmy, perfect weather that surrounds Drowsiana most of the year. It's not unpleasant as you hear the, like, right, of, like, a shovel. Why don't all of you make, elf and fae, why don't you go ahead and make me insight checks? Our mortals, our half-orc, and our humans, why don't we just make some perception checks?
22.
Okay, I got a 14.
9 on that perception.
Rook will kind of, like, just, you know, start sort of smelling the air, like, it all of a sudden gets, like, a really weird look. And then also, Aoife, as you're, like, digging into the earth, a feeling of wrongness is sort of the best way you can describe it. Just, like, sort of passes over you. Like, that feeling, you know, like, when you suddenly get goosebumps and somebody's, like, somebody's talking about you, right? Like, that, like, something is weird here. Maybe watching?
Aoife visibly shudders as almost as if a chill breeze has suddenly passed over the back of her neck. And she straightens up immediately and begins looking around.
Lou will go ahead and put on her glasses, and she'll press a button on the side to look for magic.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Let me look at a spell real quick. Just look at something real quick.
She has a Sailor Mercury moment.
I mean, I am just wondering, does detect magic... You can't see invisible things, can you?
No.
Because see invisibility is a different spell, isn't it?
But I do believe I have, like, infrared, too. Like, I can switch through the different...
Okay, so I think, yeah, in that case, you would throw up your detect magic, and you don't see anything. And, well, that's not quite true, because you do see something magic in the ground, about 3 feet down or so, because that's about the edge of detect magic. So something that you would probably recognize as, like, the bell, right? It had a magical signature. But otherwise, there's nothing that would warrant this kind of feeling. And even Rook is, like, you know, looking around again. She seems to have, like, smell or something. She's like, did you hear that? You all have heard nothing.
What did you hear?
Shakes her head, but, like, still can't shake the feeling, so she'll go ahead and switch to heat vision on her glasses.
Yeah, and as you do so, you see something, like, winding itself around the tree. Like, almost like serpentine. Sort of around the base of it. Whatever it is large, and it is perfectly still.
What did you hear?
And Rook says, chimes. Like bells.
Lou will cock her chin towards this creature, and she just says, like, serpent, 12 o'clock.
And, like, as you say this, you all hear a like something big exhaling. That, and you see that whatever it is sort of unwinds itself. And then the air around this tree flickers like a heat mirage. Actually, the whole area around you starts to shimmer as, like, this kind of this almost this dome-shaped bubble kind of appears, and you can see that the grass around you turns almost like red and black, and the air is filled with ash. It's like all of a sudden this like almost illusory setting appears around you all, and you feel heat and something, like the air just becomes stale and strange. It's like this withered tree is now presenting in front of you, and this thing appears. As you're looking at it, all you can really see, you can't see its shape because it's got this like cloak, this like ratty black cloak up and down the entire length of its body, but you can see dozens of hands, clawed taloned hands, like sticking out from the sides, like clutching down almost like a centipede, like with human hands, like wound around this tree here. And as it shifts and moves, you all absolutely hear the sound of chimes coming from it, like wind chimes hanging off of its body, and this low voice echoes out. What is it? It is not Karelin, is it? Trapped in this nightmare, these like chimes going off. And Aoife, something, you get this splitting fucking headache. These chimes, like this sound is just like, oh god, you've like never felt, it's like grating against your bones, like each like rattle of this thing just moving, it's sharp and it's horrible.
Ooh, it looks creepy.
Well, given that something is jumping out, does it seem like they're waiting for some kind of response? If not, if it just seems like they're jumping the fuck out.
They're not, like, lunging. This thing is, like, wrapped around the top to bottom of the tree. Again, you can't really see what the center body is or, like, where the voice was coming from, but you know it's sort of that thing. It hasn't moved. It has made itself visible, so clearly it heard you and, like, revealed itself in response and has put up this weird shield. Like, you don't really know, but it's aware of you and it hasn't moved.
Did you say already what this creature looks like what it's comprised of? Does it just look like an...
Yeah, so it's like this long shape that's wound around the tree, and you can't see its body. It's just covered in this cloak, almost like a cloak tarp thing, and all you can see are dozens of clawed hands, like humanoid hands, out the side of it that are clutching onto the tree edge, like a centipede with human hands, but you can't see the body of it because it's covered in this black fucking cloak. And you can hear very distinctly, though you don't know what the body is, like you can hear wind chimes or bells coming from underneath whatever that fucking tarp is, but you can't see what it is. It's horrible. This is a fucking nightmare thing.
Yeah, I really hated that entire description.
I wonder if it's like... maybe, like, kind of the source of where all the Karelins are going. Was it just waiting for a Karelin to come back and get their bell so it could capture them?
It did just say, you aren't Karelins. What is it? So it's not attacking you directly.
Yeah.
It seems to be asking you, yeah, what is it? It maybe meaning all of you. It wasn't expecting, not Karelins.
We are travelers, not Karelins. And what are you?
Why has it come here for a bell if it is not Karelin's?
It was a bell gifted to us. We felt it was safer to keep it here.
It is lying. It is lying. Why does it travel with a fae? If it is a lying Karelin,
And you see it, like, kind of moves, like, whatever its shimmer is. And Aoife, just a roar of pain, splitting like lightning, cracking you open, moves through you as, like, this jingling comes from underneath it. And there's a...
Do not play with us. We will hurt its pet.
Aoife is gripping her head as if something has just stabbed its way through her skull as she lets out this hiss of pain.
Lou puts her hand on Aoife's shoulder and sticks out a finger at this thing, and she goes, "You settle the fuck down and I'll tell you, but cut that out.
Or we'll fucking hurt you too."
Again, like that kind of like mucusy like laugh comes from underneath it, but it goes back to being perfectly still.
Explain.
We got this bell, which was stuck inside a fae, and we hid it so that the person who wielded it before couldn't find it. We were checking to make sure that it was still in place.
The one who left it here is long gone. You may move along and forget this happened. It would be in its best interest to do so.
Lou just like turns to them and she's like, "I don't know what that is. Hearing that Whistler is long gone kinda just brings me joy. I think maybe we should move along unless there's something else you guys want to know about this."
"Yes, it should move along."
But the one who left it here was me. Is she saying I'm long gone, or my past form, at any rate?
Or does it mean Whistler leaving it in the creature?
I don't think so. I mean, I heard it as the one who left it here. And that was us. That was literally us.
Yeah, like literally here.
But I still don't take comfort in it. I don't know. What do you want from this, Aoife? Are you trying to take the bell back or just...
Well, why don't you answer?
What are you hoping to do with the bell from here?
Well, I was hoping to be able to perform a scrying spell, and that kind of divination magic works a lot better when you've got some piece of that person or a personal possession of theirs in order to track them. And considering this is something that they made, that he made, that he used, it would be a powerful homin signal to be able to try and track him down.
Maybe tell them that. Tell them that you just want to...
It cannot have the bell. The bell calls others like it. I seek Corellans. You are not a Corellan. Leave.
And what do you seek Corellans for?
And there's like a weird like moving sound, and like a little bit of that tinkle happens, and like it's not being intentionally shitty like it was before, but like as it moves,
it is commanded to do so. You do not need to find those that are lost. They are well and lost. Good news for you, Faye, isn't it?
Well, what would you say if I were to suggest performing my spell here with the bell and then leaving it in your possession?
It wishes to see what has become of the one who had this bell.
Quite. Considering my current form, I think it'd be best if I kept tabs on the people who are who have become well and lost. Such information is useful.
Make me a persuasion check.
Would you say this individual is neutral at the very least to us?
Currently it is neutral, yes.
All right, I will get advantage.
Yeah, it is not yet hostile. It has only said leave. It has not actually threatened you beyond being shitty and moving its body. It clearly knows it's in a position of power. It doesn't feel it needs to be hostile.
So that is a dirty 20 from me.
Okay. The thing, and again, you can't tell because there's no face, and this thing is completely alien, and you also, Aoife, are, this is not a fae. You know when you know a fae, and this is not a fae. Whatever this is just like a huge black stain on all of reality. So you say that, and it goes quiet.
Fine. It makes no difference. See how it suffers. I will wait.
Very well. And Aoife will take the time to dig it up the rest of the way.
And it waits, as promised, doesn't move, but every, you know, so often a breeze comes by, and that's just the tingling, like those, God, whatever that chime is, whatever that sound is, just like, oh, you can't stand it.
And I think much like if you've ever checked if a D battery has juice by putting it to your tongue and you feel that sort of zap.
No, but you're like, oof, yeah.
Aoife very much feels the same way when she uncovers this bell and
touch it. Oof, oof, yeah.
Yeah, and so like much as she had felt before in the dream with Penny when she was a fae and she had touched that cold iron, she can't help but it's just like she's got to put her hand on the hot coals and, you know, gilling.
Oh yeah, it immediately burns your skin as you touch the actual bell. Like, you know, out of curiosity, you just do it. So you have to like rip it right by those like wooden handles, right? Because it just singes your skin. Contact of cold iron now is... not no bueno for Aoife.
And she yanks her hand back and flicks it off and blows on it. And then she, yeah, very carefully tries to pull it out by the wooden handles.
Yeah. The whole process, like even being by it, it's just, you've never felt anything like it. The nauseousness and the sound and the...
And then she pulls out Suwon and... Using Suwon, she starts to begin playing something that is kind of like a... Because she plays something that reminds her of Whistler, and so it's this kind of like heavy, just almost kind of drum beat of playing. And she casts Scrying, so it takes 1 minute. And yeah, using his bell as this focus for the spell, which makes my DC drop by 4.
I think you've met him personally too, so it's no negative there. So
yeah, so because I am familiar with him, and because I have one of his possessions, it is a -9.
I'm gonna say he doesn't try to resist you. You feel no resistance at all upon the target of your scrying, so you're good to go. And that's one of the things, like, you have to make a save if you don't want to be found or scryed upon. That is not the case. As your, like, you know, vision clouds and the music takes you somewhere else, somewhere dark. Really dark. Not, like, natural darkness. This is something even you can't see through. It's a supernatural darkness wherever you are, and you can see this sort of filmy outline of something, almost like a gelatinous wall of some kind, and you see Whistler suspended beyond it, just still. Like, exactly as you saw him last, you know, that, like, ooh, that reaction, but he's inanimate and there, but you can see the eyes are open. And you know, whoever it is, this person has to be conscious for you to, like, use the spell. They're not dead. and just sort of that frozen there. And as you're taking in this and like scanning your eyes around the rest of this darkness, you feel something coming towards you from where you are, and this shape emerges. And it takes you a while to see what it is, but there's like two of these glowing, like oversized eyes, like these golden eyes with these like slits down them, and sort of a wet, slimy green face kind of comes into view. It's almost like a distended, like oversized frog, something, and it gets very, very close to your sensor, and you can see that like filmy golden eye looking. And it looks to the left and looks to the right, and your sensor can kind of see that there are other of these gelatinous walls in the darkness, almost like these pod-like things, if you had to guess. And it looks back directly at you at the golden eye and says something, a language you do not fucking understand. I'm assuming. What languages do you speak, Aoife?
Common, Sylvan, and Elvish.
You do not understand what this is, but it sounds like hell is fucking talking to you, is what it goddamn sounds like. And there's a, like a, and you see the thing, like this little reptilian finger, and it goes, and you see, like, it disappears between, like, putting out a wick on a candle. Your spell ends.
And Aoife just lurches back, and she immediately looks to the three of them. She says, when we're on the way to Frida's, I'll tell you everything that I saw. And she'll turn to the creature that has snaked its way around this tree, and she says, I'll bury the bell again if that's what you desire.
No. It will take it somewhere else. So it cannot find it again. I hope it is satisfied over curious little fae. Dreams have no quarter where my master dwells.
And who, pray tell, is your master?
Like it would tell you. Leave with your filthy lives. While it still can.
Welp! And Lou just, like, starts turning her out.
Yeah, you could all pile back into Cooper, and as you do, just that red, that strange, like, nightmare fuel world bubble that you were in just, like, disappears in an instant, and it's that beautiful green hill, and you can't see anything of that thing on the tree or anything other than that disturbed pile of earth, but the bell is gone and it's all gone, as well as Aoife, that feeling of just like fucking horror that filled you.
Yeah, I think she has a quick retch. Just kind of that involuntary.
Clear that out. Everything about that was awful, awful, awful.
And then, yeah, once we, I imagine we're probably not going to park here now, given that. So as we step into Cooper on our way to wherever it is we want to.
On the other side of the city, park up all the way over there. Yeah.
Aoife will recant everything that she saw with her spell. And she would also like to do an arcana check. I presume
yeah,
this
man,
thing
on
is
what?
Not natural.
On what? Which thing? Because shit, you just saw a lot of fucking shit.
We just saw a lot of weird shit, but I think primarily on the like amphibious reptilian creature. Yeah. I think that will be the best hint to determine what else is going on around that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, God, that is hot garbage. So we're going to use our once per day.
Right. What the fuck? I don't even know where to start.
I'm all shook up. We're going to use our once per day feature to use our charisma score instead of what we rolled. So we get a total of 19.
Okay. Yeah. So you're like, oh, God. I mean, okay. Things that sort of like, it was sort of a humanoid frog creature. So, I mean, it could be some kind of, it didn't read to you as like a frog, like a werefrog, right? Or like, you know, those people you sometimes see with animal heads, right? That's a fey thing. It's not, something about it didn't read that way to you, but you do know that, yeah, there are some kind of demons and devils that might resemble frog-like things, and that voice, like, while you don't understand it, like, hell was what was going through your mind, that kind of, and you've heard, like, pieces of, you know, infernal or abyssal before, the language that devils and demons speak, and that feels right. And what occurs to you, too, is, like, your scrying, it creates an invisible sensor, right? So whatever it was, it could obviously see your invisible spell and interact with it. And also something that could keep a Corellon, at least one, though there were other of those weird things, like, probably not a fae, but maybe, yeah, a really powerful outsider of some kind. So we're talking, yeah, big deal celestials, big deal fiends, big deal elementals, probably some of the only things that could handle that level mm-hmm. of power. So I think all of that would pretty much occur to you. Oh, also, I will say, scrying, you would realize, only works on the same plane. So wherever this place was that you looked at, it is somewhere on the mortal realm. Somewhere here.
Indeed. And, yeah, with that, well, we have, like, a... Well, we can take a beat, and she has it fresh in her mind. She's gonna do, like, a quick charcoal sketch of it so that she can take it and probably ask around and do as a future subject for research.
Yeah. Tony, Lou, you good with that? That's just, that's all good? Nothing to say about that?
I mean... not what I was fucking expecting. I thought we were just gonna do a little excavation and call it a day, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than I thought to just check up on a whistle, but...
Definitely need to warn Cassie, based on what he said, if she feels any kind of pull towards something, just do not follow your instincts.
Confirmed, you suddenly have some kind of idea. There's at least something like this is clearly setting a trap for Corellons.
Certainly seems related.
No, I don't think Tony has anything else in mind about this. She doesn't have any ties to Corellons, not other than anything. She just doesn't have any ties to them. They get in her way and that's it. She's like, okay, we'll back off if this is what you're saying. Like, we just wanted to make sure no one else has been here, but seems like they haven't, so cool.
One thing I will say is I do know that the Serena had an extreme reaction to the note that Aoife gave her about Saye, so it wouldn't hurt to help continue to be in her good graces to figure that out for her.
That's great. I love that Tony doesn't give a fuck, because this directly affects Saye.
I know.
It's fantastic. That's why you're a great actor in the scene. Yes, good. So that whole horrible mess happens, and you probably have to take another, you know, good 15 minutes going around the city just, like, finding a different parking space, making sure you're far enough away, like, can't see it with the tech magic anymore. Okay. As you all sort of quietly, I think, pile out of Cooper again. So, Aoife, what are you gonna do? You want, like, a cloak? Or, like, a hat? Or, like, what's your... Or are you just going to go whole hog? Try and walk into these cities?
Definitely not wise.
I mean, Corellon seemed to not be around, so maybe it's not a problem anymore.
Maybe it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Lucille has her little witch's hat that she had from the last time that she was here. And one of the venturers, Marie, drew it with like a little veil around the face because of her like sensitivity to sunlight. And so now it's canon in my head. So maybe a fancy hat would do you well.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, and then Eva, you do have a whole magical wardrobe. So like,
and she also, she does have a disguise kit too. So I think she puts on like really kind of like drab makeup. And yeah. Everything, like, things that,
long
like...
long sleeves, like, just hide mm-hmm. all the... Cool.
Lou's like, I don't know a lot about fashion, but then the hat is out.
And she, yeah, she, like, braids up all of her hair to kind, you know, to... And, like, puts it up in like, different buns to kind of hide how... Really how long? Unnaturally mm-hmm. long it is. And, yeah.
Just how shiny it is. It's just so shiny. Like, God, the colors. There's no bottle or natural born trait in the world that could give you the hair, the colors you have.
Do you want her to make, like, a deception check to see how well she does with this disguise kit?
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you have proficiency with a disguise kit, you could use that, or you could do deception, whatever works for you. And I will say you can get advantage on it, because I'm sure, you know, Lou or Tony or anyone will help you. Like, yeah. De-dress-up montage. Ugly dress-up montage. Hide it all.
25 for a deception.
Oh, yeah. So you are completely covered. There is nothing. You look like you're in mourning, like a widow in mourning, just completely covered, like thick veil, drabest clothing, high collar, whatever. It's nothing Aoife would ever wear, ever. And it sort of chafes now, not only against your fashion sensibilities, but your very being in you is like, but I'm meant to be perceived. There's something about the Fae that just want to be perceived. But you're keeping it back. You're holding it all back. As uncomfortable as it all is, and starchy and itchy. But you're very passable.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So you all can move out in a group, and you all want to go and head to...
Bucatini.
Bucatini, thank you. I was like, which Italian?
I saw you turn, and I knew immediately.
I was like, it's not in my notes. Don't know why I'm looking at it. Head to Bucatini's, yes. So you wind your way through the familiar streets of Chaciano. Obviously, Aoife, now you're pretty uncomfortable because it is a Mediterranean environment, and you are head to toe covered. So that's, you know, you're sweating and straining a little, but everyone else, it's a lovely, balmy day, and... Some people will turn and, like, look at Aoife, like, swathed in dark colors and, you know, nod and move along. But otherwise, you don't attract much attention as you step through the streets. And you eventually wind your way to Bucatini's. The door is open right now. It is lunch hour as you are approaching. So customers are filtering, you know, in and out. Lunch isn't the big draw for your family restaurant, but, you know, it's still serviceable.
Once you eat a plate of that pasta, you're not doing anything for the rest of the day. That's a dinner meal.
Yeah, exactly. That's like either a Sunday lunch, you're like, I don't care, like, you know, or your dinner, right? You step inside and there's like, you know, a halfling you don't recognize behind the wait counter who, as you like step up, yeah, like seasonal hire. They always, you know, giving them temporary jobs and stuff. Not everyone is in the family, right, to maintain appearances. Steps up though and clearly looks at you and is like, Oh, Lou, right?
That's me. Is mom home?
Oh, yeah. Mom told me, you know, send you up if you ever came in. Unless you, do you want a table in the back or? Go right upstairs, whatever.
Yeah, no. We'll just, we've been traveling, so we'll go right up.
Okay, yeah. I think she's up there right now, so. Well, can I get you anything? Literally, anything you want.
Please don't trouble yourself. We might come down for a meal later, but just, it's all good.
Okay. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. Puts out a hand.
She like takes it and kind of like gives it a little shake and she's like, you're doing great. And just like walks.
Hey, thanks. Could you just tell your mom? Tell, really like this job.
Sure thing.
Okay.
advice, though.
Huh. Yeah.
Chill out a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
You know?
God, I might be- okay. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I'll report enthusiasm potential, but you take care now.
Yeah. 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 No, of course. Of course. Just, yeah, I'll be here if you need anything. And like, Vit like drops their voice an octave. Like, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Lou will go to like that little door, like, door that leads up that super long staircase with all the family pictures, and she like,
yeah, with all the family, so many hundreds of framed, so many, and there are more, you swear to God, as you're like, you didn't know there's any more room, but it feels like there are more on the walls.
Yeah, and she just kind of like turns back to everyone as they're going on the stairs. She's like, that one's,
they
not
never make
it
when they're that excited. Like, yeah, no. Yeah, so you wind your way up and, you know, you do the knock and, like, opening the door, you see Frida, like, you know, all three feet of her, giant, the bottle, glass glasses. She looks up, Loopy! Loopy, did I know you were coming? Loopy! And grabs your face and, like, pulls you down. Mwah, 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 mwah. Oh my God, and all your friend, Tony, and, who is, it, like, looks at the vision and cloth that is Aoife.
That's, Aoife.
Oh!
She's trying a new Phelan fashion. She's trying to make it catch on. I don't think it will.
It's very slimming, she says, and kind of, like, hits your knee. Okay, wait, come in. Have you eaten?
I've been dying for your cooking for weeks. It's so good to see you, Frida. God, I missed you. Yes, come here.
Oh, Tony, you handsome. Come here. Brings your face down, wants to give you a big old smooch on your lips. Yeah, she brings you down to her. Well, 4 feet of you down to her. Rook, it's good to, I won't hug you, but it's good to see you. Please, sit down. What are you doing here?
Well, we had some things we needed to take care of. Sent you a little message about Briar, so I wanted to check on that before there's any kind of actual meeting, because who knows?
Right. Yep. No, we found them. They go by Bree now. They apparently there's some issues that, you know, family parent, you know. Very much from what you've told me, it's not a lot going for this poor kid, but they seem nice otherwise, you know, just some petty stuff, nothing we can't handle.
I'm still gonna check them out. Who knows who they are? I can tail them a little bit.
Of course, what do you want? Tony, are you starving? You look like you haven't eaten since you left. Oh my God, okay, hang on, I gotta go downstairs, and I'll take care of this, I'll be right back up. No, you sit there, you make yourself comfortable, you look exhausted, Loopy, you look exhausted. It's not good for the complexion. Squeezes you.
Okay, one thing, Ma. Is Cassie here?
Oh! Is Cassie here? She looks around the room. Is Cassie here? Like, looking at Aoife and Tony. No. No, sweetie, she's not actually staying here. She has friends in the city. That one's pretty well connected.
Lou turns bright red.
But no, she's nearby. Don't you worry. Cassie isn't too far away, right? And like, whaps Aoife on the leg as she passes by. Okay, sit down. I'm going to feed you all. Stay here. And she's gone. She's out the door.
Okay. And Lou just like collapses into a chair at this super long buffet style table. And she just looks so at peace on this seat. And she's like, well, let's talk to Ma a little bit. We'll get you a hookup for that armor, Tony, and...
Sounds good.
Since we're in, like, the safe house and, like, the cool environment, Aoife takes off the hat and she fans herself with it.
Your hair just, like, flows without wind, like, around you, filling the whole space.
Lou just looks at her. She's like, Mom's gonna be so fucking confused. I don't even know how to explain this. Magic is so weird. I need to work on that.
That's all you need say. And she shrugs.
So, I'm gonna have to take off for a bit later, if you guys don't mind. She, like, shifty eyes around and kind of, like, looks through her bag nonchalantly and pulls out a box of cannolis and sets it down in front of her. If you catch my drift. And she taps the box.
I get it. I get it. Drift off.
Yeah. I think I probably only need, you know, a day to do both. Just check in with Cassie and just check out this Briar kid a little bit. But you guys, you know, you can make yourselves comfortable here.
That'll be punctuated, you know, by the doors swinging open and just plates of food that Frida's carrying. Okay, start. We have more main dishes coming, but have some bread. Like, what do you start? Oh my god! And she looks at you, Aoife. What? Oh my, you're gorgeous! What? Loopy, what? You didn't mention.
I... magic, you know? And she, like, looks at Aoife and, like, shrugs, like...
I... magic. You know, we've been staying in Feylin and around, and, you know, I thought I'd try a new disguise self spell.
Sure. That's, yeah, it's a hell of a spell. Yeah.
Tony is thrown off by this, because I thought you were really close with your mama and you told her everything. But what you're dealing with and all of that. She doesn't say anything, but she's looking like, why don't you just tell her about why this is happening?
It's not her thing to tell.
Oh, well, it happened because of you.
It's Aoife's life decision. I did tell her about Jada. I'm not gonna tell her about Aoife's thing. It's hers to tell.
Does anyone want some wine? Feels like, you know, it's one of those days. Anyone? No, just me.
I could never refuse. Please.
This is why you're my favorite. This is why she's my favorite, Tony.
You're my favorite.
Though that Cassie is pretty cute. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah, so you sure did just up and decide to bring her here, huh?
Well, you know, you told me to look into her, and she's like going around and banging around the kitchen like a whole bunch, like way more than you think anyone would need to like serve some glasses of wine. Well, you know, you told me to look into her, and she is in quite a bit of trouble. You all seem to have really stirred things up in Feylin. Of course, you know, that's not my area of expertise, but Feylin is that kind of city. But it became pretty clear that she would be better out of there than not. You know, they start looking into her, and obviously again start looking into my Loopy, and then that's just not good for the family. And she comes out and kind of hands you all a bunch of chilled glasses. That cross, that Alexandria cross, she is nasty piece of work.
Yeah, from the interaction that Tony had with her, she didn't seem all that great.
Oh, and then she worked for Melwyn, and Melwyn is just, well, we all know. That raccoon has been after that throne for God knows how long. Well, you know, I'm not a fan of any of that Eldrin politics, but the Tavirs, an exceptionally nasty bunch. If I had to pick a duke I liked the least, it would be Melwyn Tavir, but that's no surprise to you.
Not at all, Mom. Two glasses in and you make your opinions very clear at dinner.
Well, my opinions are right.
I don't disagree with you. I just have never expressed them at that,
Ah, fuck them. Fuck all the Tavirs.
Decibel before.
Terrible. Him and that Sar, oof. You know, he was a Tavir before he married up. And married up he did. I can't believe he's not dead yet. God bless us, Serena, all the other ones who are dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I told you all about what happened, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they were behind everything, but it's not exactly something you can proclaim out in the open.
No, that's why we don't live there. Feylin, nasty city. At least the weather's good here.
Speaking of looking into Cassie, I know that you're...
I like her. She seems nice.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. Not only did I ask for protection for her, but did you find out anything less than good?
Well, and she kind of looks, you know, at Aoife and Tony and Rook, like, we cool to talk about this here? Well, you know, obviously the Krellans are incredibly private, and there's not a lot I can learn about specifics, but from what you've told me, everything, you know, checks out for the most part. She was in Ashtar for a very long time, you know, before she was there, what would some would consider a full training cycle, she left, and, you know, her job with the university all seems above board, and she's done quite a bit of traveling and involvement in these sort of fae consulting cases, quite a bit more than most mortals, I suppose, ever really survive, so it would make a lot of sense that she's got some kind of extra training, but at least on paper, Loopy, she seems okay.
Who smiles ever so slightly, and she's like, well, that's good. You know, I don't like getting things messy, so
yeah,
that's promising.
Yeah, two living parents?
Thanks for doing that.
She doesn't call them enough, but, you know, that's typical.
Not everyone can be as good of a daughter as me.
I know. Don't I know it, Loopy? Just smacks your cheek.
All right. Well, with your blessing, then, I think I might go visit her later and just check in to see how she's doing.
I bless. It's been a long time, Loopy.
I am so aware of that more than literally anyone.
Oh, we're all aware of it, Loopy. It's not just you suffering in silence, okay?
Anyway, my next subject, Tony here.
Oh, you want me to fix you up, Tony? Thank God. She laughs.
Just some small improvements. I want to step more into being the first line of defense for these two wonderful companions I have here.
Oh, of course you do, you gorgeous. You gorgeous half-orc. Yeah, of course. Okay, I got your, just give me your measurements. I'll find something good for you. You know, give me a price range and we'll see what we can do.
Always appreciate your help.
Anything for Loopy's friends. Anything else I can do? How long are you going to be staying? Should I make up the guest rooms?
No, definitely no more than two nights. Probably one, though, I think. Right, guys?
I can't say I want to leave any sooner than we need to. I love spending time with your family. I love being around your mother, Frida. You're such a charm.
Oh, you're such a charmer. Oh my god.
Someone's gonna be getting into the family real soon if this continues. The soldier, okay.
Nah, is she gonna be in the family? Look at her. Everywhere she goes, all eyes are on her. Look at her.
look at this Empire uniform too. That's not gonna happen.
anyway, oh good, the pasta, and like someone comes up, that little halfling again, is like, here you go, what? Like looking around, she's like, whatever, and you know, shoves them out, and like you get the trays of food and so much food, you can eat anything, God. Anything you want. It's all, everything on the menu has been brought up for you, of course.
I'm going to become a meatball by the end of this trip.
I evolve into meatball. It's good. Your final form. So obviously, Tony, absolutely no worries. You can find some pretty heavily discounted half plate. Yeah, that's 600 gold we talked about, discounted down quite a bit. So you all set up, so make sure to mark that on your sheet.
Hell yeah.
Otherwise, so Aoife and Tony can certainly make yourselves really comfortable at Mom's house, or go visit whatever you want in Chaosiana. Lou's gotta go see her girlfriend.
Listen, we're not official yet, guys. Stop.
Just want to confirm with that half plate. It is 17 base AC with a plus Yes. To when I have my shield out for a 19.
Yes. So cool. Aoife, Tony, you can settle in at the house. You're going to play some, I don't know, Monopoly or whatever. I imagine all the family board games. Probably there. Just drink a lot, eat Italian food.
Family board games, whatever Aoife wants to do, slash also give me the goss. How have your dreams? How have you been sleeping? What's going on? What is... How do you experience the nighttime now?
Yeah, so Aoife and Tony, gossip.
Slumber party.
Yeah, what is it like? Do colors look different? What's going on with you?
Yes, do you hear dreams? Do they look different? Yeah. All of that. Can you be in my dreams? I have no idea what the fuck a vassal is. So tell me everything you've experienced. All of that.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah. What does Felix look like? Yeah. But really, though, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
I think Aoife is initially a little hesitant to share about, like, physically how it is, you know? But as, like, Tony kind of, like, warms her up and gets her to unwind and, like, and, you know, she, like changes out into just like regular clothes so she doesn't feel so constricted. And finally,
also to help Rook, will like go away. Rook like immediately Frida like drags Rook downstairs like, oh, these big strong hands need to make some noodles, you know, or whatever, like turn the crank, like the pasta, you know. Rook's like, oh my god, oh my like god. Last time Rook was immediately like swept into doing chores, so this is like Rook is gone, so you're
listen, Ma knows when you need some focused love.
Incredible. And so Aoife will will then admit that, ironically, she can't dream. And at first that was weird, but then she realized that she could always step into someone else's. So she's like, yeah, if you want me to be in your dream, like, I'll totally do that.
I'll make it awesome. Like, I can throw a party in your goddamn dream, yeah.
Whatever you want. Like, we get to play The Sims in God mode.
I know all the cheat codes.
I mean, Tony certainly believes in the significance of dreams. So I think more than anything, she feels also a small sense of loss for Aoife that she doesn't have that anymore. Like, it almost gives you an insight into your own psyche. If you don't have that anymore and you're... I mean, it's great you have the choice to be in the people's dreams that you want to be involved in, but you don't have that for yourself anymore. Do you feel that sense of loss? Do you feel like a severed connection in any way?
And she'll say... reminds me of the feeling, you know, because I'm the oldest of six, and so when my younger sibling was born, and we didn't have a very big house, we used to live, you know, it's before we like built up more rooms and everything, but we had to share a bedroom, and suddenly the space that I had, the space that was mine with my toys and my toy chest and my blankets and my bed, and suddenly I had to share it. And it's an adjustment.
Yeah.
But also, Tony, I think maybe that might even give you a little bit of insight into what the sleeping court is, right? Like, if they can't dream, but they're all about, like, being in dreams and sending dreams, like, that's kind of an interesting thing to consider.
Particularly hearing Aoife related to her younger siblings, being an older sibling herself, she's like, oh, I can see that. I see the value in that.
It's like having to grow up.
Right.
A little bit. Luckily, there's plenty of Chianti and pasta to get you through anything weird, and then you get to be like, yeah, now I get to, like, drink forever and not feel unless I want to. Woo! You know, whatever. Lou... what do you want to do first? Do you want to check in on Bree? Or do you want to go visit Cassie?
I think we all know she's definitely planning on ending the night with Cassie, so let's do brief first.
I think that's probably why Frida's being extra nice. She's like, I'm giving you guys, like, yeah, and you know, you can have Loopy's room. I don't think Loopy's gonna need Loopy's room, and I hope not. Oh, actually, Frida will be like, sorry, Katie, you have to wait. You know, at some point, you know, in the middle of, like, hangout sleepover, Frida will come up and be like, now listen, okay, Tony, Aoife, clearly your Loopy's, like, best friends in the whole world, and you know, while I've met Cassie, I just wanted to, like, get a read. What do you think of Cassie? Like, you know, she's a...
I definitely thought at first she was, like, a serial killer.
Oh, no. But yeah, yeah.
Really attractive.
But, like, who isn't these days, right? You know, you gotta have that attitude. Dating is hard.
Tell me about it. Mm. But she seems very secretive and kind of held back, and you know, like, there's something there in her past, and so I'm just curious and a bit wary, but she's been kind and very helpful.
Okay. Tony, what do you think?
I mean, I am slow to get to know people, so I think it's good that they're dating, really. Why not? They're just getting to know each other. There's a lot to be discovered, so...
Yeah, okay. Why not? All right, I won't send out the hit people yet.
Give them some time.
I'm kidding.
Aoife winks at her.
Yeah. She doesn't blink, she kind of walks away. Anyway, Lou, yes, so you can go and follow up very quickly on Bree's leads. You learn that Bree likes to hang out in this, like, public park in Chaciana with some other local youths who don't particularly have a stable housing situation or much else. So that's probably the best place to go and find them if you want to check them out.
Yeah, I think that her plan is to just, like, be around the area and kind of, like, tail him, see what he does, keep a distance, and just see what kind of person he is, what kind of, like, teenage bullshit he's getting up to, because she wants to form a game plan in her head on how she can help progress him in the way that he's clearly, that it's her job to.
Yeah. And, you know, you see, like, immediately kind of from afar, like, pretty much what you would expect, you know, late afternoon, just a bunch of teens hanging around. You see, because Frida kind of gave you a general description, so, like, this bright, like, redheaded kind of kid, like, in that gangly, like, very, very tall, but, like, awkwardly just doesn't know what to do with their size, right? They, like, sprung up overnight, sort of kind of a kid who's, like, leaning over, you know, hat strung low over their face, like, oversized clothing, hanging out with, like, three or four other, you know, kind of teens. And they're just, like, kicking a ball around, doing, like, teen hacky sack, essentially, you know, smoking cigarettes, doing their business, like, around. And, you know, you watch this for a while. Kind of boring, nothing notable, like, you know, maybe you go grab some food or, like, you know, go to the restroom or something, and immediately as you, like, come back around the corner, you see Bree is, like, standing there. It's like, hey, lady, why are you watching my friends?
I'm just hanging out in a park.
You some kind of cop or something?
No. That's cute, though.
Okay. So what do you want, then? You're creeping me out.
I'm just observing to see if you're cut out for the big leagues.
Make me a perception check.
12 plus 4, 16.
And they rummage kind of around in their, like, deep pockets and, like, pull out, like, one of the knives that you wear, like, strapped, hidden on the side of your person. Is like, I don't know, you tell me. Get out of here. This is my park.
She just, like, laughs and, like, takes it back. And I would like to try to one-up him and, while she grabs it back, steal something off of him.
All right, here, let's go. Sleight of hand versus my perception.
Yes, okay, that's a 16 plus 7 for 23.
Okay, so you, like, go in, right? You know, make a, like, that move. You're like, whatever, kid, you know, turn away, like, whatever distraction it is. And you, like, there's the sudden puff of something. It smells like autumn leaves, right? Like, as you're moving through, and this person, Bree, is, like, suddenly about a foot back from where you thought they were. It's like there's this sudden, like, shift. And they're, like, staring at you with these eyes that are just, like, too green and canine-like, as they're like, Who are you? What are you doing here? Stop. You need to go.
I need to go? In my city?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Just leave me alone, okay?
Calm down. Nobody's here to hurt you.
You come down. You come here in the middle, like, assuming you know me?
I don't know you. I'd like to get to know what you're capable of to see if maybe we can work something out.
Whatever.
Blue just takes the knife back and puts it back where he got it from, and she's like, are you hungry?
Yeah, I guess. What's it to you?
Because nobody should be hungry, and you look like you could stand to gain a few pounds. Come on.
You gonna murder me or whatever?
Oh my god. No! If I was gonna murder you, you'd be murdered. But!
Well, that's comforting. Yeah.
Why the fuck would I do that?
I don't know.
You're just a fucking kid. Come on.
Alright. Hey, in case this chick murders me, look at her, okay? And he calls back to the friends and they're like, yeah, whatever.
Lou just kind of like cups the side of her face cutely and like throws some deuces and is like, come on, let's go get some food.
Yeah, they're like laughing, pushing each other. He's like, yeah, haha. All right. I want two of everything.
You need to stop taking yourself so seriously, kid. Come on. And she kind of like drags him over towards Bucatini. And pulls him into the restaurant and kind of waves a hand at the person out front and takes him to one of the back rooms that's kind of more secluded.
Yeah, that halfling will come out and be like, oh, you're back and you've brought a, like, looks up this, like, kind of dirty, like, street kid. You've brought a friend.
Yep. We're just customers, though.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. And clearly Bree has, like, the, you know, the chip on the shoulder, like, passing by, like, ready to fight any person who, like, looks at him too much, right?
She sits them down and she kind of just, like, waves a hand and throws, like, a sign for two to somebody and, like, she's like, okay, I put our order in, two of everything. So, Bree, I hear you're called. What are you doing, man? You got talent. What the fuck did you even do at the park? Just poofing out of nowhere? That's skill. Not many people pick shit off me. I'll tell you that.
Since it's not something I want to do, it's just something that, you know, something that I do. I don't know. It just started happening.
And I can tell you are getting by doing this, so who are your marks?
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever. I don't know. Just, I don't know, anyone who looks like they don't need it. I don't steal from, like, babies or nothing.
Not a bad way to do it.
Damn.
That would be really embarrassing if you did.
Yeah. Whatever.
That kind of mentality, stealing from the people who don't need it, I think is something that could get you a pretty comfortable place. If you knew the right people.
You sure you're not a cop?
I am so sure.
Yeah, sure, whatever. It's not like I can get a job. I'm not gonna go into school. These fuckos.
Knowledge is power. I'm gonna defer from your viewpoints there. But if you want, I can help you get that more comfortable life, and then maybe you'll find yourself in a position where you don't have to try so hard. And maybe one day you'll pick up a book because you'll have free time. My God, please.
Lady, why do you care?
Because you need help.
Oh, I don't need, and like all this pasta gets like slid in front of him and there's like the, and you see just like how hungry he looks, how skinny, how tall, how like, and it just disappears. And you know, he starts opening up a little bit more after all that. There's nothing like being well fed and, you know, after eating a shocking amount for any mortal person to consume. He's like, you know, whatever. I'll think about it. All right, I'm leaving though. Okay, I'm not paying for any of this. I'm leaving.
That's fine. If you want to come back, and she like reaches out and she'll give him 5 gold, and she'll be like, find someplace comfortable, have a good night's rest, and if you want to come back, my mom lives here. You can ask for her. Let her know that Lou sent you. Her name's Frida.
He kind of like takes it and like, you know, walks away and like looks back over his shoulder. And you see him as he's moving through. He like catches, you know, like one of the wait staff, like one of the waitresses coming by. And he's like, here, you take this. Like slides all 5 gold. He's like, you did great.
Lou clutches her pearls and she's like, now I don't have to feel weird about passing this burden yeah, onto
this
my mom.
This weird fae said my shitty kid, yeah, needs help.
Yeah. Yeah, so she'll be like, okay, cool. And she will go ahead and tell her mom that he might stop by. He'll probably use a room. And he needs to learn even bigger marks than just the people who look
shitty people in the park. Yeah.
The people who look like, not only do they not need it, but they don't need it 10 times over. And make her way out of there and head out towards where she knows Cassie is.
So Tony, Aoife, it's probably been 2 to 3 hours now into Slumber Party. I imagine there's been quite a bit of Chianti consumed. Where are we at? Just like a snapshot. Just tell me where we at right now in Slumber Party. Like a nice 8 p.m., 9 p.m., had a couple bottles of wine. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, a couple have eaten way too much food, so full of carbs.
So much pasta. Damn.
And is now a little tipsy and, like, working through the pantry to find, like, the cookies and the sweets to round off that
We had so much savory. Clearly the answer is more food that is sweet. Yes, good. Perfect.
Tiramisu up to your titties.
Yeah. There you go. It's got coffee in it. Wake your ass up. Good. Okay, we're at the sweet part of the evening. Love it. Love that.
I think Aoife is definitely a little antsy. Like, she's like, let's go out to a club. I want to hang out with people. I want to go dancing. Yeah, but she's also, she's like trying to, she's fighting against this impulse, but she knows like, no, I should really be inside and not attract too much attention.
You know where you could go, though, that probably occurs to you, where that kind of behavior is probably fucking fly.
No, she does not need to have Bartleby see her as a full-on fucking
thing.
You don't
want to go to a devil club? Dude!
If you want to go to a fucking club right now, Tony is 100% with you. She's got your back. She will be there.
Go to the devil club. Everybody
she's down.
Is
she is awake, first of all. She's probably already playing like guitar and to whoever is willing to listen very sloppily. And yeah, and it's like, oh, you want to go out? Let's go the fuck out.
I think there's about an hour where Aoife is like, oh, I really want to go out. That would be so much fun. We should go see Lark. And then she's also convincing her. She's also saying out loud, like, no, we should really be inside. I know I shouldn't go out to the streets. It's really dangerous. But then, like, as she's saying no, she's like putting on makeup and getting dressed. And as soon as Tony's like, no, yeah, let's go, Aoife was like, okay. And she's like in her going out outfit.
You certainly can't go by yourself. You need someone to watch over you.
Yeah, you need a chaperone. A big, strong chaperone. Hell yes. Let's go to the club.
I think Aoife definitely, like, links her arms around you, Tony, like, under your arm. It's, like, kind of, drips off of you.
Yeah. I love it. And I'm here to look hard and badass and like a bouncer, but a hot bouncer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll say, yeah, you get to this club, which I cannot remember the name of now, but I remember it was a very good pun.
Club Soul.
There it is! Club Soul. Love that. Yeah, and you get there, and, you know, things are starting to heat up for the night, you know. It's a weekend. It's like 9 p.m. now. People are starting to line up to get in. And someone seems to recognize you or just think you are both amazing and, like, waves you through and very quickly into darkness and, you know, loud music. Amazing as that is happening. What? Where's Lou? Where are you going? Your mom gave you the address where Cassie is staying. What you've heard is that she is staying with some friends who live in the city. And this address is clearly in the very nice part of town. So whoever these friends are quite well to do.
She will just kind of straighten herself up a little bit before she heads out and then, like, make her way downtown, just kind of clutching her cannolis.
Clutching? Oh, you brought cannolis with you? Of course you brought cannolis. You're clutching your cannolis. As you walk through, and you're walking through, like, past the, you know, the entertainment district, and you're like, clubs lighting up. You're like, are those my, no, as you walk right past Club Soul, you know, make your way downtown. And your travels, yeah, lead you towards one of these, like, it's not one of, like, the downtown neighborhoods. It's, like, just on the outside of that, so people can have, like, their, you know, their condo-style, like, houses with, like, backyard pools. Like, this kind of, like, ritzy, like, high-end Eldrin nobility bullshit. And you kind of, like, roll up to one of these city houses, and you're like, geez, okay, like, beautiful, you know, immaculate lawn, garden, like, whatever. You see a couple lights on, clearly.
Yeah, she's just, like, confused, thinking about, like, how casual of a person Cassie is, and she's like, okay, and she'll go and just, like, take the knocker and give it a few thwacks.
Yeah, and there's, like, a while you're standing around, and you kind of hear a, hello? Like, from the other side of the door. Sorry, are you delivering something? Like, you hear Cassie's voice coming through muffled.
Hi, so sorry, it's Lou. I was in town, and I heard...
Yeah, there's sound of locks, and she, like, opens it up. She's, like, wearing a towel and, like a bathing suit. She's like,
Hi!
Hey, it's so good to see. Like, wet and trying to hug. I don't. Come in!
Yeah, well, swanky place. Who do you know?
Yeah, they're my parents' friends, sort of staying here. It's empty. There's no one here. They're gone doing.
Oh,
I don't care. You want to? Yeah, come in.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And she'll kind of just like take her cannolis and like find her way to any kind of kitchen and just like set the box down. And she's like, first of all, I just want to say I'm sorry that my mom is very a lot. And I didn't realize when I told her that I wanted to make sure you were okay, that, like, she'd make you go and...
Your mom?
Frida, right? You talked to her?
Frida is your mom! Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Joe, she didn't...
Oh, I didn't know that you didn't know...
I mean, no, I just, she, I, wow, how, was the, right, okay.
Okay, so you, yeah, that's my mom, she,
okay.
I just told her that I was worried because of how we left things, and...
And wait, and Lark is your sister. Okay, okay.
Sister.
You know your sister?
How? You met Lark?
Yep. Shameless flirt. I was convinced that was something else. Okay, okay. Good, glad she's your sister, because...
Good to know. Gonna talk to her about that one.
Yeah, felt a little inadequate there. Okay, that's great.
Inadequate?
Yeah.
You have nothing to feel inadequate about, I assure you. I mean...
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Wearing a little bit too much for my preference, but gorgeous.
She's like, I'm literally in a towel. Okay. I'm just really glad you're here.
Oh, I know. Yes. And she'll, like, reach in and, like, pull her in closer and give her a big kiss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's into that.
I left without pancakes, so I thought I owed you. And I was in town, so I brought cannolis.
Great. You know, I've heard that cannolis are pretty much the most sensual dessert.
That's so weird. I have heard that too. I didn't know that was common knowledge.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So crazy. Great. We should partake.
Yeah. Are you anything life-threatening, or can we just...
Lead the way. I will...
Partake and deal with that. Yeah, okay. All right, okay.
Oh, so much, but, like, it can wait.
I need glad to stress. To see you. Really, really glad. And I think we can fade to black. And we will deal with whatever news or whatever comes next time. But we have gotten well into our business in Chasiana, learned some very weird stuff about the Corellans, and yeah, I think we can call it an episode, kids.
Productive. Good shit.
Oh, heck. Yeah.
We did. We got a lot done. We had a lot to do. I knew we weren't going to get it through at all.
You had a lot to do. I know these last two episodes, I was like, I don't know what to plan for. There's like 20 things on the to-do list.
We have our game plans ahead of us. I have upgraded my armor. We've accomplished quite a bit.
You do. You do. Hell yeah.
For the bookkeeping, how much did she end up paying for that armor?
650. 650, so we got like a hefty 15% discount or so, which is about standard for what you can assume if you're buying non-magical gear in Chasiana. So that is good, so you can upgrade your character sheet officially. So we just have some business to wrap up with Cassie, and then we will be meeting this emissary from the Tsarina and heading into the Blossom Court and moving things along next time. So we are in it, kids. We've learned a little too much, I think, about the Corellans, some nightmare fuel. Probably need to update some content warnings. I don't know what you say for, like, weird creature with hands. I don't know.
Content warning, too many hands.
Content warning, hand monster. So that's what that is. Yeah, yeah. But otherwise, thank you. Thank you, everybody, so much for being here. It's great to be back and in it. I can't wait to see what happens next time. We've got some wheeling and dealing to do. But as always, before we go, we want to take some time to thank our beautiful, wonderful, lovely Patreon donors who just the light of our lives. Your donations make all things possible. Thank you for your belief, for your faith in us, and just for being the raddest fucking people in the world. So we're going to go around the horn here and say thank you to our two highest donor here. So I'll start off with thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at the one on Drury Lane on X, formerly known as Twitter.
The artist formerly known as Twitter. Yeah. And thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you to Richie113 on our Discord.
Thank you, Tony.
And of course, from our tier Farrah's drinking mate, thank you, Nadia.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Markalai.
Thank you, Fable.
Thank you, Sheepish Gnome.
Shout out to Destiny. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you so much, Mrim.
Thank you, Noon, from the Discord server.
And thank you, Brittany.
Thank you, Alan, the Rum Cake Master at Obsidian Cyrix. And thank you also for being a new drinking mate. Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, we have Ben, a.k.a. Flower Crown Gaming, our Wiki Master.
That's it. We did it. We did another episode. It was so great to have you here. Thank you for telling stories with us. We love you. Well, you know, thank you. I've been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Gonowich.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I played Luveri Sath, your Drow Rogue.
And I'm Nassim. I've been your Half-Orc Fighter and Blossoming Druid, Tony Silvertail.
I like blossoming and budding. You're doing it twice. How dare you? Okay.
Incredible.
Good, 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 good.
And I'm Sage, and I have been your very disturbed vassal, Aoife Flannery.
Fair. Extremely fair. Yes, but we'll be back with more of that hot storytelling next time. But until then, everybody.
Venture! Venture!